seems to be four shlemos. This is a shlema for Chanina David Nachman ben Harold Brian Leah. Emes, today it's Ki'ilu, we're holding my Yom Kippur ready. Emes is, there's a yontiv before Yom Kippur that we're holding in, and it's an inyan of the Yoma. The Gemara says that if somebody's oichel v'sheise on chi, it's Ki'ilu, he was misane on chi and asiri. Famous Gemara, Merlin's from Pasik. The Pashto Pshat is, the Pshat Rashi gives in Rashi of art, is that it sort of helps, it prepares for the tainus. It helps the person prepare for the tainus, and that's what it's about. That's the Pshat, probably the most simple Pshat. It is strange, Kilu, why Kilu is misane both days, the inui in both days. I mean, he's preparing for it. He's been mechazik the Yom Kippur. It's like every achana that you do for something, you build a sukkah and so on. Whole life, that's what it is. There are some places where it says that it's harder to fast, that it sharpens it. But there is there are a few makayos and dominant ones that it's mashma. It's a lot more than that. The Rosh says. He brings over here by the Gemara, he brings the famous Yashami, the Medrash, that there was a Meiser with a fisherman, with a Yid, with a poor tailor. He was vying with the messenger of the town, wealthy pirates, over a fish. And he told him it's a chutzpah that a poor man like this should want a fish. And he told him, one day here we have v'chulu v'chulu. So the Mashmos is that it's not just to prepare food for it. The mashmos is there's an inyan to be to have a suda in a way like yontif. The Zohar Kodesh says, the Zohar Kodesh specifically speaks about being misanig on the Erev Yom Kippur. L'chura misanig certainly has no makom whatsoever in this understanding of preparing for yontif. Mela, the understanding that you're eating, so that helps you, you know, have the stamina for the fast. But the word misanik is certainly the mashmos is that it has some sort of inyan of its own. So the question is, what exactly is that inyan? In other words, the inyan of oinek, that's the Zohar Kodesh Lashon, is that he's misanik on chi. That's really the maila of it. So that's the inyan that I'd like to speak a little bit, meaning in the big picture, there is there are two inyanim that we're doing. There's an inui, that's one element that's important, and there's an oinig, and that's a very important element. The oinig takes place in Erev Yontiv, today, tomorrow, Mikadin, and the inui takes place on Yom Kippur. So I want to start from a very different place in the Avodah itself. The Avodah of Yom Kippur is obviously full of very, very, you know, it's Dvarim Moindvur Sha'olam. Every single step of the Avodah has meaning to it, and it comes from another Indian. There's a pasuk here that says like this. So the Aaron HaKohen takes the korbanis in, and it says like this: Bezois yovei Aaron. Aaron comes bepar ben bokar lechatas v'ayla oila. So personally comes bepar ben bokar lechatas v'ayla oila. Me'eis adas bnei Yisrael yikach shnei sire izim lechatas v'ayla chad loila. From Klal Yisrael, he takes two seirim for chatas. So the two se'irim are the kapara of Klal Yisrael. This is the heart of it. Everything else is a chetimtza. In other words, he can come into the Kodesh Kedoshim, b'zois yovei Aaron HaKodesh, b'par ben bokar l'chatas v'ayla oila. Those karbanis are his ticket for going to Kodesh Kedoshim. he needs to have a certain achana and a kapara and everything. But from Klal Yisrael, me esad asel yikach shnei sir izim mechatas v'alechad la'ila, that seems to be the core of what is being mechata. V'hikir v'aras v'parachas shaloi v'chibad al-beisoi, so first he takes care of himself and his beisoi, then v'lokach ha-shnei asirim, he takes the two seirim, v'hemenoiz of ne'ashem v'eschoil moyet. He puts gerolos on it, gerolach l'ashem gerolach ha-zazol, he's makriv the soyer asha olol of a gerol Hashem. So the girl, the one that has Lashem, he's makir first, vaso chatas, vasoyer, asha ololov a girl azozul, yomad chaylef ne Hashem lechapolov. So while he is being makriv, the first soyer, the other one, the one that goes azozul, must stand there chaylef ne Hashem lechapolov, l'shalach se azozul. The pasuk is madgish, and halacha is that he has to be chai as long as there's the shechita, until the zrika of the dam of that soyer, he must stand there. So it's mashma that it's not just a seder avodah first this then this. It's the pasuk is saying you must hold off on sending off the soyer lazazel from the soyer lazazel as long as the other one is not yet finished. There seems to be some sort of reason, some need to have this one standing, and it can't be brought until the other one. That's one thing that seems to be interesting. A second thing is, what are these two Siri Mechapa for? So the Sawyer that is Nishchat for Lashem. So that the pasuk says, "V'kchipa lakodesh mitumasel pishen chochatoisam." It's mechape antumas hamigdash v'kadoshav, which is the standard kapara for most chatos, for most serum and so on. Brought yon tov. What's the soil lazozel mechape on everything? I got the shaila or shegig mezid and so on, but b'chol eifin all averus on the soil azazel, and this soil is tumas v'kadoshav. Tumas v'kadoshav is chomer, and yes, but I mean that's pretty uneven. And what's fascinating is the pasuk and the halacha is that the chatchila they have to be as equal as possible. In other words, tumas mikdash and kadoshav, the two seirim should look the same, be the same price, and so on. And this one you saddle with all the averis, and this one you find one avera. Halachically, it's hard to say that this is as chomer as this, all of them, and tumas mikdashav. But the pasuk seems to first of all be makasha the two together. I mean, we would have said, okay, there's always seirim that are mechaper on tumas mikdashav. It's a normal routine. Soyer lazazel stands on its own. The pasuk says they have to be the same. And one has to wait for the other. The soyer lazozel is waiting for the tumas mikdashav until you can bring it. Halidavahu. So it tells us there's something about the avodas hayoyim that is bifurcated. It's not one avodas hayoyim. There's two inyanim. One is tumas mikdashav. One is other things. They're equivalent, almost two halves of something, and they're tied together. And one has to wait for the other until it's taken and resolved. What is it? Well, what is this inyan that is this, so to speak, a second inyan that is tied together with the kapar of averus? There's a famous Gemara in Avodah Zarah. The Gemara brings the Maisa of Elizabeth Odaya, who was someone that was shakua in Znus. He was and he finally had his Cyrus of Tshuva, and he started crying, very famous story, and then he asked the Harem should help this or that, the other. At the end, he died from Agnes Nefesh, and a Baskel came out, and he said he's a Mezumel Chaylam Haba. And he did Tshuva. Elizabeth Odaya, Rebbe Elizabeth Odaya, is someone that is seen as a paradigm of somebody who did Tshuva Shleima and was Zoicha to Olam Haba, despite the fact that his whole life was Shaku and Chet. So the question is, why did he die? What was it about it that caused him to be nefta? I mean, Dagmas Nefesh, but Tachlis Lamaisa, he was a skapa. He did do Tshuva Shleima. So let's understand a little bit some of the mechanisms of what a person's chius is, where it comes from, and where chet gets in the way. A person on a nafshistic level has a reason why he wants to live. That reason is tied up with some sort of onik. It's tied up with a pleasure, almost as if it was, it almost by definition. What is it that I wake up in the morning for? What is it that motivates me? What is it that keeps me going? That thing is a core tainug of mine. So, the range for one person could be something extremely coarse. He's chilagas is his. That's what he. And for another person, it could be covet. Another person could be doing good things, being there for the family, being responsible. V'chulu v'chulu. There are many, many, many different motivations, ranging from very coarse to very noble. But at the end of the day, a person needs to have the thing that he is being shoei for, the things that he's striving for, and that gives him that gives him the drive to keep continuing to do it. If we remove that from a person, the person will emotionally, mentally, fade away. Lo aleinu, people who work very hard, making a living, and so on, and providing, and then they retire, and if they feel if that's their whole life, they fade away, because the person doesn't feel he has what to be there for. So even though he complained and grumbled how difficult it was, but now there's nothing pushing, driving, and something about the person's chius is dissipates and disintegrates. A person who lamashal is very kosher with hanos achila, and he, for medical reasons, he can't eat anything but something, whatever it is. He will have a very, very hard time, because he's technically his body has the food it needs, but he doesn't have his taivus achila, and if his taivus achila is not there, then basically he loses interest, and so on. Every single drive that a person has is every single chios of a person is kosher with something that pushes him, and the word tainug at its deepest level applies to that. When somebody was shaku and chet, the way Elazar Dodaya, then he could stop doing the Averis, but he wouldn't continue living without it. Because just like, imagine ourselves, if, let's say, for some reason, for some medical reason, we would have to stop eating, but we'd be able to give it to us through a tube somehow. But the Hanos Achila, in every sense, it would be gone. It would be very hard for people to continue. So Elazar ben Hodaya was shakua in the world of Taiva to a degree that when he stopped, he could stop, but he couldn't continue living. So he had been able to desist from the Averis, but had not been able to replace his Kohat Oneg, and therefore he melted away. Rav Hutter once said, in a little bit of different lashon, I think it meant the same thing, he said, a person's rutzen and chius become one. And when you take away his rutzen, the chiyus is gone as well. Pretty much, I think it's the same idea. Now, what is a person's onik? What is a person's nekuda that he strives for? Like we said, it's a range. It could go from the coarse to the most noble. But the klal is that the coarse drives out the more refined one. So if a person if his oneg has become focused on very physical things, on very coarse things, it's going to be hard for him to appreciate something more fine. Let's say if a person likes things that are heavy, sweet, then something that has a finer taste to it, he has no sense for it. His chushim had become coarse, and he doesn't have it. When a person is chayte, so chet is mekasher a person to a world of tanugim that are physical, coarse, and they dull a person's sense for ruchnius. Let's take. We have in us a sense of enjoying things we have, and we have in us a sense of enjoying things we give. But the easier one, a child immediately enjoys things that he has. The child's first reaction, one of the first words a child learns is mine. That's one of the first words that he picks up. To give is a much finer sense. And as long as a person feeds the mind that sense of possessiveness, then the sense of giving is not going to come out. So when a person does hate, a person does two things. He does something wrong. He also builds in himself a sense of tainuk that is bad. And I would like to use the words that about timtum alev to mean that. Timtum alev is sort of a dulling of a person's finer senses. And when a person does averis, especially coarse averis, he becomes metumtum, and that becomes his chios, becomes his nafshios. So Lozer ben Dodaya could stop doing the averis, but he ceased to exist because he had lost his oneg for Kedusha and for Dveikus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara's Lashon over there, the Gemara speaks over there in Avodah Zarah, the Gemara speaks about things, Averis, that are Avikube, that a person is Mizdabik. Avodah Zarah and Arayas are two of those examples. When we speak about being Misakin Klal Yisrael, let's understand when we speak about the chet and the olam, the world of chet navera, two things happen. One is Klal Yisrael did things that are wrong, and that itself breaks away from Kadosh Baruch Hu. They also lost their sense of connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Tumas migdash v'kadoshav is that b'chin of timtum, where in the connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu becomes dulled. It can happen when you do averis in Kodesh also. Obviously, if you metami things, but more than that, any avera itself, you lose heart in anything that is Kodesh, and the tumas migdashav means the place you're supposed to plug into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can't plug it anymore. Both of them are equal in the destruction of Klal Yisrael. When we do what's wrong, it's bad. And commensurate to what we did wrong, we lost the ability to be mischabed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is bad. When we're talking about reversing the process, so let's think a minute. imagine you take somebody, and he does things that are wrong, bad. Why do you do it? Because he likes it, he enjoys it. That's, you know, one way or another, he finds it enjoyable activity. You tell him not to do it. That's very, very hard, because not doing. Okay, so what should I do all day? You know, you take a bacha, let's say, I'm going to speak in the situation of a yeshiva, you take a bacha who has a kishmak in learning, and he enjoys learning, but he's fooling around. So you tell him, okay, stop fooling around, and you slam the door on his fooling around. So the expectation is, he does enjoy learning, he can learn, he'll pick up a gemara, get into the sukkah, and he'll enjoy it. But imagine you take somebody that has none of that sense. He doesn't enjoy learning. So you tell him, don't do. So what am I going to do? You know, there's no way I can get a person to stay straight and to do right if nothing is filling his sense of tainuk. It's a very, very sad. Someone, a mechanic, once told me he had made. It pushed someone away from a certain direction, and the bacha didn't do well. And he told me that the mechanech, who was a very experienced mechanech, he told me, I made the terrible mistake of taking away someone's god without giving him a god in return. And it was a very deep point. You know, I was able to cut a certain relationship that I felt wasn't good, but he had nothing to substitute for it. So he was left nowhere. And he was a broken person. To take a person away from the world of chet and not give him a world of oinek leaves the person nowhere. Nobody can live l'shem shemayim. Unless l'shem shemayim becomes an oinek, you can't live l'shem shemayim. So the first point that Klal Yisrael has to repair is the chibut Ribbono Shel Olam. If a person doesn't develop in himself, or causes to develop himself, the chelik of oinek, of being misanig al Hashem, then the rest of the avodah is really, really not going to happen. It could happen for some while. It can't. It's not sustainable. So there are two se'irim that Klal Yisrael brings on Yom Kippur. One se'ir is to mechapan all the averis. Equivalent to that Sawyer is the Sawyer that reconnects with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's like when you pull a cord, if we pull this direction, we unplug it from the wall. So we need to plug it into the wall and pull it out from there. The two Se'irim go hand in hand. They're of equal stature, they're equal, and then when you are bringing this one, you bring this one as well. And that's the Hadgosha, the Pasuk, I think, that the Soyer HaChai should stand, the Soyer HaZol should stand Chai until that's finished. In other words, as a person is prepared, as Klal Yisrael is prepared to do what it takes to get rid of the Aveira, it must wait until there's some sort of Chibur to Kedusha. So even though a person would say, well, how can you mishaber to Kedusha if you're still doing Averis? The answer is, if I'm standing ready to get rid of Averis, I must first be mishaber to Kedusha again. So the two seerim represent both of them, these two nekudas, the nekuda of being mishaber, because Tumas Migash Kadoshav, the full impact of Tumas Kadoshav is not the Averis Shaboy, it's that Tumah becomes a chatzitza between us and Ribbono Shel Olam. So we're in the Beis HaMikdash with the Karbonis, and nothing's happening. There's a film between the contacts. Once we finish being mishaber, then it's possible to send out the other one to Azazel. Sfaradim speak a lot about Yom Kippur being a pchina of olam haba, and I let's and this it says it says a lot It says in Olam Haba, it says there's no achila, there's no shtia, but tzaddikim ayoshan sem bereisham, and then nenim from ziv hashchina. So it seems to us like those are two separate things. There's no achila shtia in Olam Haba is to us a technical detail. I mean, we could have had Olam Haba with a smoke spoon also. You know, one has nothing to do with the other. It basically tries to say Olam Haba is a place with a lot of pleasure. That's one point. So that's Nenim Iziv Ashkina. There's no Achila Shtiyah, say it because it's not physical, it's only Neshama. Is there a connection? And the answer is obviously. It's the Nakuda of Oneg in Olam Haba has moved from Achila Shtiyah to Nenim Iziv Ashkina. It's not like two separate arrangements. This is the eating, this is the dining room in the Olam Haba, and this is the Beis Medrash, this. It's the Nekuda that Chazal are telling us is the difference. Nekuda of Oineg is the same in Olam Haz and Olam Haba, because a Nekuda of Oineg is who you are, and what you're Niskasha to. The question is, what strat is it? Is it Achila Shtia? If it's Achila Shtia, then Ziv Ashkina, you can't really connect to Ziv Ashkina. If Achila and Shtia is no longer your Nekuda of Oineg, then the Nekuda of Oineg has to be nitfas of something. It has to anchor itself to something. It's the Ziv Ashkina now becomes the Mokum Oineg. When you think of Yom Kippur, so Yom Kippur's Avoida includes the two Seirim. It includes the element, obviously, of being misnatic from Chet, of pulling away from Chet, and it includes in itself the Chibur to the world of Kedusha. Those two require that A, we find it, the reason why it's a day of Inui is because it's pulling away from the world of Einig that is physical, because that's where our kilkel lies. But that's not a day that's going to be mischaba to Kedusha, unless we somehow find a way to be mechaber Einig to that day. In other words, the Inui of Yom Kippur has to be understood as an Inui on one level and as an Oineg on another level. It's unless we're mechaber, if Yom Kippur were to be, for instance, Tisha B'Av is a day of Tsar, and it's meant to be a day of Tsar. That's its mohus. It's Tsar l'shem Tsar. I express the Tsar that I have and the loss, and therefore by you know, the like Achila, Shtir, Achiz, and so on and so forth, it expresses Tsar Shaboy. I'm bereft of something, and I show it by being bereft physically of Tanugis. Yom Kippur is not that. Yom Kippur is not a day of Tsar. Yom Kippur is a day of Oineg, but it's a day when the Oineg has to move away from one world to another world, and it's Bechreach. As long as I'm being misanig on physical things, I can't be misanig on ruchnius. But when we live in this world, a day without achila and shtia doesn't have oinig in it. So somehow we need to have a chibur between the two. And that's what Chazal Megalatas is, the extraordinary chibur of Erev Yom Kippur to Yom Kippur. The eating is described ki'ilu, there is mis'ane. It's because what we're trying to do is, for us today still, the physical world is the world where we feel a sense of tainuk. The question is, what are you associated with? Let's give an example. The Rambam, in his Shmoneh Prok, in his Akdama to Chelek, speaks about training a child in training a child to learn ruchnius. And he says you start by giving candies and sweets, and then you progress to clothing, to covet, and finally, if he's roya, you do it lishma. So the progression is, what you do is you take the world of tainuk, the sweets, you take the world of learning, and by associating the two, somehow the sense of einik becomes associated with the learning, until at some point it transitions into the learning. So the taste of this, just like we associate with many things like that, if we have a particular pleasure, if we had a particular meal that was very, very pleasurable because of the company, the food also becomes part of it, and so on. The tachlis of Yom Kippur is that we begin to transition the oinig of Olam Haba to the inyanim in this world that are shayach to it. I want to spend a minute or two talking about, I guess, more practical. When we keep thinking, everyone makes his cheshbon nefesh on Yom Kippur, before Yom Kippur and so on, we keep thinking of the things we do wrong, the things we need to change. And its success is always measured, let's put it that way. Because we forget that the real tachlis in Yom Kippur is to substitute our onik. Just like when in a yeshiva, when a boy enters yeshiva, in our Messiah's Nefesh Yeshivas, the goal of the chinuch system in yeshiva was to get the bachim to enjoy learning. The key word was geshmak in learning. And besides, technically, obviously, easier to get people to do what they want to do, but the point is, you can't get people to do things for any length of time that they really don't connect to. And oneg is our connection. So getting a person to enjoy learning is the sodas of getting them to learn. Because even if you can force yourself to learn with promises, with threats, whatever it is, it's not going to last unless it becomes you. And it's not you if you're not misanigani. That's true in a certain tekufa with the bismedish. In ruchnius, if we're to ask ourselves what should be the most important goal to focus on in Yom Kippur, it would be how to find an akuda of onig in what we're doing. Now, a lot of times the akuda of onig comes about through thinking about something. Lamashal, if a person were to grow up not knowing the value of learning, he wouldn't necessarily think that it's great to learn, but if he hears about it, and he thinks about it, and understands it, so it becomes like that. When a person is misbonin, if a person is misbonin, what it means that he's able to draw to the world of Kedusha, the Cheshivas of Kedusha, Tzuras Adam, Tzelem Elokim, it takes thinking about it. But more than anything else, a person wants to develop a sense where this is what he craves, where this is what he wishes. The only way the Sur La Zazel can take away that virus is if there's a Sur Chai, if there's a Sur that's Mechubah to Kodesh. And that Chibur is Oinek. The Mesil Shasharim starts by saying that the Tachlis in this world is to miss Aneg Al Hashem. And then he nuances it and says Dveikos and other things. The Tachlis to miss Aneg Al Hashem is a tachlis in its own right. Because if a person is not misanig, then he's not dovuk, he's not mechuber. Any interaction that doesn't give me einig doesn't connect to me. That's the definition of it. It is the biggest challenge. It's easier to sort of do some drudge work and get it over with. But to develop a real tainug in something is a challenge. And it requires thinking about it. The more a person thinks, the schmoozen about that the Bala Musa gave, whether it's Tabakir or Selma Lakim, and a person who's refined and in control of himself, what the schmoozen accomplished were, they became something a person strove for. Just like in a society where everybody takes a person who can kick a ball real hard and says, ah, Zekeli Van Veyu, and what kind of wonderful thing it is, it breeds a certain cheshek and tshuka to be like that person. If we were to mull over things of value the same way, we'd also develop that tshuka and that oinik. The chi and asiri together are they are the atzmis of Yom Kippur. When Chazal said that if you're oichel and sheis on chi, and the Zohar says if you misanig on chi, it wasn't just a melitza like it's a nice akdama. That is what it is, because Yom Kippur be'etzem is a ha'ara from a world beyond. It's a ha'ara from a world beyond where there's no achila and shtia. But no achila shtia is not the accurate description of Olam Haba. The accurate description of Olam Haba is Nenem Ziv Hashchina. And it's because there's no achila and shtia that they're Nenem Ziv Hashchina, and it's because they're Nenem Ziv Hashchina that they can survive without eating. There's a tzaddik, a beautiful tzaddik. A tzaddik has a klal, it's sort of something that is intuitive, that Chazal, when they speak in Agarata, there's no mesechtes designated for it. So the mesechta in which the Agaratas are spoken about are a reason why they are the achsanya, why they're the place where those agaritas are. And one of the many mentions is that the inyanim of man are spoken about in Yuma, because man is a type of achila that sort of straddles the two. It's kemat not physical, and it has in itself, it's an almost ruchnistic achila. Ramban says the same thing. Lasset Lavo, he compares it to man. In other words, Yom Kippur is that ruchnistic moment when a person makes a transition in the world of oneg from an oneg that is physical, that's tied to the timtum that Chatoim brought into the person, to an oneg that goes beyond that world and in the Osis Hanigal Hashem. The most central point of a person's Avodas Hashem in a year lies in where he places his nekud of oinik. And we should be zeicha that we should be able to take the chi and asiri together, and that the inuyim of Yom Kippur should be moiled in us the tanugim of chi and the from the oz tis aneg al Hashem, from the pulling away from the achila and shtir, from achila shtir, we should be zeicha to the oineg of nenem yisiv hashchina.